This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Hello, my friend, meet again.
It's been a while, where should we begin? 38 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia, 22 before 5. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. I hope you're having a wonderful day and enjoying this gorgeous weather that we have been blessed with. It's 76 degrees in Central Virginia. The weather is perfect. It is perfect. Would that the water supply plan was perfect. It is not, in my opinion. Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith are live in studio, and I think they would agree with that. How do we make it perfect, Dee Dee? How can we make the water plan like this weather? What do we need to do to make the water plan a beautiful 76 degrees?
Oh, isn't this just a gorgeous day? And we would love to see the water plan to be as gorgeous. And the way to do that is to make it the least environmentally damaging and practicable solution, and that would be
environmentally damaging. You're like one of those just crazy liberals who want to hug trees and love the environment, and you get in the way of good proper business and good municipal planning.
Right, and the state agrees. The state agrees it needs to be the least environmentally damaging, and we feel
so
that
that's not a liberal thing. That's the state order.
That actually is a state order, and the way they got around not having the least environmentally damaging, which would be dredging the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, we already own, is to say it was way too expensive.
More than the Panama Canal.
Yeah, that's the practicable part.
Yeah, because we had this firm that we had hired who specializes in big dams.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, it's...
And they estimated that the dredging would cost $225 million, which is, as Richard just noted, more than it costs to dredge the Panama Canal.
I mean, it's like asking a company that builds in-ground pools, would you give us an estimate on an above-ground pool? And they're going to say, oh, you know, that's going to be really expensive
exactly.
And messy, and you don't want to do that. You want us to build you an in-ground pool.
But City Council recognized that, and they absolutely insisted to the point of paying the majority of the costs for a legitimate, very comprehensive dredging study, which we are now waiting for Part B of the report to come out.
So that's where we are. That's the latest.
That is the latest.
Everybody's waiting on Part B of this new study, which exactly, Richard, what is Part B? What's going to be in Part B?
Well, first, Part A was very rewarding. In fact, I think the cities would say that their money was well spent. They found out that they had more water than they thought, that the infiltration rate of silt was half of the rate that was estimated. A lot of good information that will serve us well into the future. Part B is going to be how much does it really cost?
To dredge.
And, of course, that's a function of how fast do you dredge. If you want to dredge by tomorrow, it's going to cost a fortune.
Yeah.
But if you only want to dredge that 0.5% of infiltration plus 3 or 4 extra percent to allow for some growth, then you're looking at, 4% a year. It's very, very small. And you only need 5 or 6 acres to dewater instead of hundreds of acres.
And I hear folks on the far right and the far left in total agreement about this. That's what I love most about this issue is this really brings people together. The far right extreme and the far left and folks like me who, don't ride on either wing, we're all in agreement that we should have been dredging all along. And it wouldn't have been crazy expensive. And what the heck are we doing talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a water supply plan that's money that we don't have?
And if we just dredge slowly to make up for what we haven't done in the past, plus what comes in, it costs less than the interest payments on the bonds for the community water plan that they're planning to build. Less than the interest.
Just to dredge. Now, Dee Dee, what's your response then to the people who say you can dredge all you want, but you won't get the water you need? I mean, that's what we always hear. Like Brian Wheeler with Charlottesville Tomorrow, you can dredge all you want, but it won't give you the water that this community needs in the future. And the whole point of the water supply plan is to give you the water you need in the future in case of a drought.
Right. And our response to that is that the estimated water we will need in 2055, 50 years from now, or it's now 45 years, is way overblown. And they did not take into consideration not only active water conservation, much of what we're seeing already happening in the last decade, but they didn't, even more importantly, take into account passive conservation. And can I explain that a little bit?
Yes, you can, Dee Dee Smith.
This is actually really, really important. And even those who are in support of the plan recognize that they estimated the future use based on the historic use and just in a linear trend up. And historically, and we're talking 1973 to 2001, let's take, for instance, toilets. Toilets, on average, in that period, flushed with 5 gallons. Today, it's 1.6. If you just do simple math based on how many times a person flushes in a day by the population that they're anticipating, you save 3 million gallons a day. That's passive conservation. And what that means is without doing anything, without actively...
Without saying you can't water your lawns or anything
exactly.
like that, that's active
that's
you know, conservation.
That's no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Because
the
technologies
they just
change.
They make the toilets differently. Yeah.
It just is going to happen. And they didn't consider that.
In the study for the amount of water we would need in the future, they didn't consider any of this passive conservation.
And that's a pretty big chunk of their demand. And if you add to that then other technology, such as washing machines, which save now 50%, they use 50% less water, at least the best of them, which we will assume is what's going to, coming down the line and will be happening in, everybody will have
them. It'll
be
the standard one day. Yeah,
at least. At least that you've now gained another million gallons per day. And it just goes on and on. And again, City Council recognized that, in fact, their demand analysis, as it's called, is overblown. And so they now have insisted on another study to look at that because it's really so important.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Richard Lloyd. Hold on 1 minute. We want to go to Greg. He's back with us in Albemarle County. Greg, go right ahead.
I'm one of those right-wing conspiracy theorists, zealots.
I love it.
I actually agree with the I think dredging ought to be looked at first because regardless whether you build another reservoir or not, you don't want to lose the one we've got.
Amen.
Yes.
And how close is that other reservoir to 64? And what if an oil tanker goes over in there and we have another Gulf incident?
Eastbound or westbound?
And the third thing is, I don't believe in an earthen dam. I mean, if you had a big flood and it washed one side out, what's going to happen below it? So I'll let you all comment on those things.
All right,
things.
Greg, thanks so much. We should point out, though, that a roadway crosses the existing reservoir. I mean, you could have had a truck turnover in that
it
reservoir
does, but
already,
but it's not
right?
as major a highway as what Greg is talking about. And
certainly.
Greg, those are three fantastic points, and let's take them actually in order. Let's look at the value of the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, regardless of its water supply. It is the largest water supply we have, but it is also an invaluable recreational resource as well as an aesthetic resource. There is a lot of property around there, and the current
a lot of those properties, their values depend on that water too.
Exactly, and so there's tax issues. I mean, there's a lot of issues around allowing the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir to die, which is exactly what the community water supply is anticipating.
That's part of the plan.
That is
just
part
abandon this,
of the plan.
Just abandon the reservoir.
It. Yes, yeah. It is to abandon it. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind. That's part of the cost of the community water supply plan is the loss of the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir.
But that's not factored into their bottom line.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Not in, or into their mitigation.
Well, it's, yeah. But that belongs to the city, so Ravanna wouldn't factor it into their loss. It'd be a city loss.
And,
the city owns it.
Yeah.
So, Richard, you want to comment on I-64, another absolutely vital point.
Yeah, because the plan calls for increasing the bathtub at Ragged Mountain to the extent to which it would go under I-64.
Well, it's a twofold thing, because right now the bathtub does go under I-64. In other words, the watershed is on both sides of 64, and the watershed feeds into Ragged Mountain currently.
But and the water doesn't go under I-64.
But if you raise the water table, then you have water standing on both sides of 64. In other words, you flood the south side.
64 goes over a lake, basically. Yeah.
It will go over a lake.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, if you have a watershed and you have a pollutant that's put into the watershed, you can get in there on earth with earth movers and you can address the problem. If you have water, it's instantly polluted. It circulates. You've just lost the entire Ragged Mountain water supply. And if that's the only one that we have, then we've lost it all. Under the current plan or other plans, then you have South Fork still in existence, and you still have the Sugar Hollow pipeline, which means you can still pull out of Sugar Hollow. So it's a complicated question in that if you the big loss would be if you sacrifice South Fork and if you were to cut off Sugar Hollow from the water system,
which is the plan.
That's the plan.
That's the existing plan.
And then
put all our eggs in one basket right on the highway.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can compare Earliesville Road to I-64
in terms of the
large tankers and trucks.
Yeah,
that,
fair enough.
That,
what about the earthen dam? Yeah. Greg mentioned the earthen dam. Now, where does this factor into it?
Well, Schnabel has just finished the preliminary design of the earthen dam, and I think they've done a fairly decent job of it. They have a large footprint dam, earthen dam, and on one end it goes over top of the existing dam, and then its alignment is a little bit off so that it veers away from the existing dam, and they just leave it in place and flood it. The big problem here is that we don't need a big earthen dam. Why would we design this big earthen dam when we really don't have a need for it if we dredge the reservoir, if we reuse other forms of water supply?
And just to remind me, just for my own edification here, that is the position of your group of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, and has been since the beginning. We need to dredge the South Fork of the Ravanna before we put $1 into a whole new reservoir.
First, you need to come up with a credible and have a reason for the period of time that you're going to rely on this, be it 30 years, which is the state minimum, or 50 years, which is the maximum. You can't design over 50 years. So if you're designing for 50 years and you're going to let things silt in, they've got 50 years to silt in. Maybe 30 years, which is what generation and a half, is plenty of current forecast. That means we would spend the money today for a 30-year plan, and in 30 years, people would look around and say, well, it's what we need or we need more, but they can make a decision based upon what their needs are at that time. And they won't have all the bonds still floating for the great big water plan. In other words,
and that is the plan, right? To sell a bunch of bonds?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They would have to fund this thing?
Absolutely would have to. Yeah.
Here we are, and countries are going bankrupt. They're going into default. States are going into default. Cities are going into default. Poverty's at an all-time high. Foreclosures are at an all-time high. Bankruptcy's at an all-time high. And we're talking about floating municipal bonds? I mean, it's already expensive enough to live in Charlottesville.
Because those have to be paid back, the interest, all this stuff. Yeah.
And we're going to push people into more and more pain, more and more bankruptcy, more and more foreclosure. Why would the water rates
would go up. And, Dee Dee, what interests me, and really, is I find this really fascinating, is the politics of this and who keeps pushing this plan. Because once upon a time, we had, you know, the water board folks who were being led by Rich Collins and were going to look at dredging. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to look at dredging. And the next thing you know, Rich is off the board and there's a developer who's replaced him and dredging is out the window and they want to put hundreds of thousands of dollars into a brand new, huge, you know, water supply plan that's supposed to be just for backup. But every builder and developer, this is what they want because it represents, you know, uncontrolled growth. That's sort of the politics and the background of it that I find really, really fascinating if you take sort of a long view of this.
That is one way to look at it, but there's another really powerful political group at action here, and that is actually an environmental one. And I'm a avowed environmentalist, but the Nature Conservancy actually came up with this plan to build a pipeline to replace the Sugar Hollow pipeline with a pipeline between the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir and this new expanded Ragged Mountain Reservoir. And the implications of that is that you would then stop pulling any water from the Mormons River, and that is a huge political advocacy. And so
this is the agenda of the Nature Conservancy.
It's a big driver for this plan. They fear that if we only dredge the South Fork, that they won't cut off water from the Mormons. Now, I would say we can actually have both. We can have both restoring a more normal flow to the Mormons and restoring the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir without building this great big dam. The other irony here is that if they do build that great big dam that is now would quadruple its volume, they're going to fill it from the Mormons. For years and years. They say they cannot build that new pipeline to replace the Sugar Hollow pipeline for at least 10 years. And I say they will never build it, because they won't have the finances to do it. They won't have the demand to do it.
The right of way. Yeah.
And so that's the irony here, is that those who are defending the plan because they want to restore the Mormons may lose the Mormons at an even, may have even a greater loss.
One new red herring, red herrings are meant to, arguments meant to mislead and deceive, but one new one has surfaced, and they said they're going to use the Sugar Hollow pipeline and fill a 2.2 billion gallon Ragged Mountain Reservoir, the big one, the new one, in a year or two. Now, that pipeline is 4 million gallons a day maximum capacity. Of that, we have Observatory Treatment Plant pulling up to 10 million gallons, but let's say it's they only use two. And on top of that, you lose about 1 million gallons a day of evaporation off of the reservoir. That gives you 1 million gallons a day in non-low flow times and high flow times. It's absolutely impossible to fill the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, 2.2 billion gallons.
The new one, yeah.
The new one, in a year or two. Do the math. It's simple math. You get 1 million gallons a day.
But you can do it in 5 or 6 years, and they will.
Well, that's been the whole thing through this whole process, is folks like y'all doing the simple math, saying, wait a minute, your plan's full of holes. It doesn't add up. And yet we keep seeing so much money being thrown at this and so much political will behind it. It just boggles my mind that it's still being pushed.
And then there's the people in the community who are saying that the current Ragged Mountain Dam is no damn good. Of course, you need a new dam if that's no damn good. They say it's improperly moored. Yet Snobble, the other night when they were introducing their dam design, was asked the question. And they said, of course, the old Ragged Mountain Dam cannot move because behind it is the 1934 earthen dam that was placed behind it. It cannot move against it. That's why we're leaving it in place with the new dam.
So here are the pieces. That's one of the important pieces that we still need to know. So this is where we are today with the water supply debate. We are waiting for studies on, we've now gotten the earthen dam estimate. We're waiting, first of all, to hear about the I-64 embankment, which Greg brought up, and whether VDOT's even going to allow that. Secondly, we need to find out the cost of dredging. We also need to find out the cost of repairing the existing dam at Ragged Mountain, because that is a component. Now, Gannett Fleming, the old consultant who got fired, actually estimated that that would cost between like $3 and $6 million. We compare that to, you know, $60 million or $30 million, whatever you're comparing it to, but a lot more.
When do we expect the Part B of the study of the of how much dredging actually would cost? When is that due?
By the end of June, and I'm hoping any day now that a report will come out.
Well, you let us know when it's in, and come back in and let us know. Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith, they're with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, online at SevilleWater.info. Thank you for the update.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.